I want to give a shout out to the fourth wall, where fucking comedy is king. You want to be a comedian? Go to the fourth wall, all right, and give it a shot. You just go up there in front of a bunch of comedians. There's no alcohol. There's no fucking glitz. It's not Madison Square Garden. It's fighting for your fucking life. You do comedy in front of comics, bro. You pay $5, you get 5 minutes. Like a savage, old school style.
This is episode 123, Mos Def and Talib Kweli. We came to rock it down to the tip top, best alliance in hip hop. Y-O. Remember that song? I'm live, 123 from Studio B, my work truck that I stole. Well, I borrowed, because I am on my way from Marina Del Rey to Irvine, California, IA, to do an open mic. Friendly Frank's Irvine Improv open mic. Luke, you complain about these mics every week. I know, I have to go either here or the Ice House because I need the fucking miles. I need the road. I need the distance to do this show. You know what I mean? I got to do it while I'm driving. Because that's the theme of the thing. Of the show. My show now, live from 405 Podcast, is on Libsyn, Libsyn. If you want to go to the actual podcast page, all right. But I'm also it is now a standalone podcast on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on Google Play, and I think it's on SoundCloud. So if you're hearing it right now, this is from the old account, which will be going until February. And from then on, I will only be on. Just switch over. Go to iTunes right now or as soon as the show is over. Get off Looking Good Radio and just type in search Live from the 405 Podcast. I now have my own show by itself. So if you want to subscribe, please do, because I think only two more episodes will be where you're hearing it now, and from now on it'll only be on that standalone EEP. Well, it's not really an EEP. It's just a podcast. If you can't, leave me a review. And give me a couple of stars because it helps and it moves you up in the iTunes ratings and it makes it easier to search. And a bunch of people did. And thank you. I got a whole shitload of reviews and stuff. So thanks everybody that did that. And, you know, Libsyn tracks your downloads a lot more than I thought. Yeah, a good fucking handful. Michael Corleone did this. Michael Corleone did that. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? I used to be able to do a way better Pantangeli. That one's slipping on me. I got a lot more downloads. I always wondered how many people listen to the show, because if you're just on iTunes, I had a WordPress page that, well, you don't need to know this, but like the way I always posted the show before for all the years I've done it, it didn't tell you how many downloads you got. There's no way to get that info from Apple, but Libsyn tells you every goddamn download you got, and more than I thought, man. Good handful. Significantly more than 30 even, so... I figured I was somewhere around 20, and I was like, shit, I'm like fucking twice that at least. So if you're listening, thanks. If you've been listening, thanks. If you're new, hi. I swear a lot. I complain. I'm a right-leaning fella, cranky, late 30s, originally from Buffalo. I'm out here in L.A. on the outer fringes of the entertainment world. I do stand-up. I'm an open mic comic. Looking to change that this year. By the way, did you... How about that Joey Diaz? You hear that fucking intro? You heard last episode, he dropped into the mic that I usually do, the fourth wall over there in North Hollywood on Burbank Boulevard. I've been going there since it opened about a year ago, year and some change, and Joey, he was in there again. I didn't go Tuesday night last night, but he was there again, so I'm going to start hitting that one on Tuesdays. He dropped, you're in, you're out, hello, goodbye, and that's all there is to it. Just another fat fuck walking out of an open mic saying his jokes. He walks in, he walks out. Not a lot of chit-chat and bullshit, but he's there every week if you want to catch the fucking great Joey Diaz. One of the great... Remember the last season? Well, he played kind of himself on Marin, the IFC show.
That last season, I mean, the last season of Marin was fucking great, and that the Joey Diaz episode might have been the best one. He's so fucking funny. I love that guy. He's one of my favorite. He's one of the fucking best comics alive. The guy's fucking great. But I listened to his podcast the day after that Fourth Wall last week, and there he was talking about it. I was like, holy shit, he's talking about motherfucking Fourth Wall. I mean, when we first started going, there'd be like five of us. Like, the whole fucking sign-up list would be six people, and the mic would be over in fucking a half hour. Now it's really blowing up, so I'm glad for Joe Mad Dog Manente, who runs that joint. Luke, didn't you say that was the guy that was supposed to show up in your elf sketch, and then he stiffed you on the day of the show? Yeah, but, you know, still love Joe. He's a funny fuck. So, yeah, that's the housekeeping. I'll have to do that for the next two episodes, so don't. Oh, yeah, and I got my Flickr page, Live from the 405 Podcast on Flickr, F-L-I-C-K-R. Best way to find it is just go to fucking Google and put Live from the 405 Podcast on Flickr. See what I'm saying? I'm hoping by, like, summer I could double my number. I want 100 fucking downloads a week. Would be fucking rad. So spread the word and spread the turd. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting a turd right in your fucking ear. Last episode, I was at the this very same Irvine Improv, and I had connected with a chick on Tinder. First time in a while I've connected, but first time in a while it started going somewhere, and she's like, let's hang out. She was a very large-breasted woman. She looked pretty cute. She lived right in my neighborhood. So, lo and behold, I meet her the following night, last Thursday. Now, I live close to Venice Beach. I just moved over there. I lived in the valley all 12 years. My heart is still in the valley, by the way. My body is on the west side. My heart's in the fucking valley. It's still my place. We both live near Venice. She said, why don't we go to this little restaurant over on Rose? Which is, if you ever go to Venice Beach, you get off the fucking 10, you get on Lincoln, you get on Rose. At the end of Rose is basically the beginning of the Venice Boardwalk. It's where you park. My gym's right there. So I was in the fucking gym today. This has happened before in many gyms. Have you ever been in the gym, fellas or ladies, and the whole fucking place, it smells like period pussy. There's like an actual scent and tone to it.
Luke, how the fuck do you know what period pussy smells like?
Well, my mom's was horrendous. My mom was on a fucking rag, that guinea. She'd stink up the whole goddamn house with that fucking, with her crimson fucking rags. But I was also a janitor, like a part-time janitor when I was in college for a bit, and I'd have to clean the fucking ladies' room. And there's a very specific stink. I can't describe it. But I'm telling you, from one end to the other, that whole, I'm like, is there 10 fucking girls here? On the rag working out. It was fucking, I was like fucking gagging, dog. And then, they rearranged that place. I've complained about this too. And I don't know, maybe you've experienced this yourself, gentle listener, but like a public gym. I've never seen one. I mean, I've been working out for 20 fucking years in gyms. LA Fitness, both sides of the country. I've never seen them like reorganize. Every once in a while they just reorganize for some, like every like other year or something. They'll be like, oh, let's get some new machines and cycle out the old ones and move shit around. And they move stuff around, and it has never been better. They've never made the place better with the reorganizing. Never once. I'm always like, who is in charge? Some like fucking 20-year-old that's like, I don't know. There's like no rhyme or reason to it. They get rid of the best machines, the most popular machines. And here's the also, maybe it's just an LA thing. I don't know. The most recurring thing is, like, there's a shit ton of wasted space after. They move it out, and then there's, like, where a Universal machine was, there's just nothing. It's just like a big open space with, like, with some cardio gear, like a couple of those rollout mats and shit. And I'm like, what? You know, there's fucking 60 people that want to, all right, not 60, there's 10 people that want to squat right now, and now you just got rid of two of the fucking squat stations, and you put, like, some fucking ropes and shit over here. What the fuck is this? It never makes any goddamn sense. I can't fucking stand it, but they fucked it all up. They fucked up my golds, the shitheads, but anyways. It's two fucking hot chicks. There was two, like, lipstick lesbians. The one looked like Cammy. I know this is a deep reference, but she looked like Cammy from Street Fighter 2, the video game. Two! And she was with this other chick. I don't know if they were, like, lipstick lesbians or what, but they were, like, all over each other. Like, they're fucking both smoking hot. They're all good. Covered in tat fucking toes! They're covered in tattoos, and they, like, skater chick. They were probably, like, in their 30s. And the girl, she was, like, doing that thing, like, she's behind her with her hands on her hips, like, helping her spot while you squat. Oh, my God. Jesus, it was hot. There's so many fucking hot chicks in there. Gold's Gym, Venice Beach. Why was I talking about that? What just happened? Oh yeah, so meeting that girl over there, Venice Beach. So I drive by those all the time after I go to that beach, and they're all real dark inside, and it looks like they're just kind of lit by candles. They're very like boutique kind of little restaurants and bars and shit. Look expensive, but I'm always like, oh, you know, sometimes someday my parents will come, and maybe I'll take them in there to eat because it looks like somewhere fucking like Mom and Poppy. And cute and candlelit and intimate and whatever. So I'm like, all right, finally, I'm going to go to one of those. So I meet the chick over there. And she has all black on, low-cut shirt. And this, she's got to have F-size tits. I mean, just fuck. I'll put a picture of her on my Flickr page just to get a gander at these fucking sweater puppies. Fucking huge. I was like, whoa. So now I gotta spend the whole date trying not to stare at her tits, and because that's just hack. I mean, of course I want to look at the goddamn things. I'm thrilled at the prospect of giant tits, but I want to be a gentleman too, as much as you hear the scuzzy side of me on here. I'm not as bad in real life as I make myself out. So I meet her. She's cute tits, and she has a vibe like a Fox News correspondent. She seems like a chick that'd be on Fox News, you know, complaining about Obama or whatever the fuck. Whatever the fuck they talk about in their fucking show. Attractive. Not, you know, smoking hot not or anything, but, you know. And we're talking, and we're hitting her up pretty good. She's fun to talk to. She's conversational. You know where she got the hook in me? She said, also, you do stand-up, huh? Because we met on Tinder, and there's a picture of me, you know, at a fucking open mic or whatever. I said, yeah. And she goes, who's your favorite comic? And I said, probably Jim Norton. She's like, I love Jim Norton. She's like, you know who my favorite comic is? And I'm like, here it comes. Who's it going to be? Chris D'Elia or something. She's like, you know Dave Attell? And I was like, yes, I do. She's like, yeah, he's my favorite. I love him. And she lived in New York. She moved all over the place for her work. And she for like a year in New York, she lived right at fucking Bleecker and... is it Houston? What's it? Wherever the Comedy Cellar is. She went to the Comedy Cellar and the Fat Black Pussycat all the time. She knew who Nick DiPaolo was. She'd go, oh, yeah, see all those guys. And, like, Louis would drop in. It was great. And I was like, motherfucker. She lived down the street from the Comedy Cellar in New York City and would go all the goddamn... Oh, speaking of which, fucking Crashing 2 comes out next week. Electric Boogaloo. Speaking of Crashing 2, you know, I got an email back from Fitzsimmons. I offered him a while back. I said, I'll come shoot pictures of you doing your podcast. He wants pictures for his office. He talked about it on his podcast. Was it Fitzdog Radio? I fucking love that show. And I offered my fucking photography services there, and I sent him a bunch of samples, and he said, oh, this looks great, and I want you to come shoot me, and let's find out a time to do it. So I basically gave him my weekly schedule there, and I said, fucking dude, I live 5 minutes away from you. Hit me up. I'll come over any fucking time. I'll take pictures. If you want me to take pictures of you doing stand-up, you want me to take pictures of you. Now, I'm not some fucking photography hotshot. I have really expensive cameras that generally do the work for me. I barely even know what the fuck I'm doing. But I just switched over to that 5D Mark III. It is so much better. I was shooting on the fucking Sony A7S. That fucking 5D is just made for taking stills. The Sony is not. The only difference, the problem is you can blast through pics on that Sony. It takes the 5D takes a couple seconds to recycle after you fucking pull the trigger there. The Sony, you can just click, 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 click. I mean, you can take almost do a fucking animation with how fast you can shoot and get a still shot, and at fucking 5D, you just can't, and you miss a lot of fucking moments. It's kind of, that's my biggest drawback with it, but goddamn, it's so much easier. It takes us better pictures, but, you know, I'm a basic bitch, and I just have it on auto settings and shit, but it still does a good job. But I said, dude, I'll take some pictures, I'll blow them up, I'll hang them up, it'll be fucking cool. You have like a kind of artist fucking thing. He's like, that sounds great. So I hit him up again, and I said, hey man, here's my, you want me to come? And now I haven't heard back. So he wrote me back one. I got one call back, if you're like an actor or something. But I'm waiting for the second. I'm waiting for it to actually fucking happen here. So I don't know. Anyways, Crashing 2 is coming out next week. So Luke, tell us about the fucking date already. So yeah. We're having a good time. It's going well. I had a couple mojitos. She had fucking 3 glasses of wine and something else. So we're getting pretty buzzed. And she got some ceviche. And we wrap it up, and the bill comes $100. One with the tip was $100 fucking dollars. I'm like, all like Indy says in Last Crusade, Venice, Yeah. Wonderful. $100. But I tell you what, from the first 5 minutes, I'm like, then we can get at least a fucking blowjob out of this. I was pretty sure something's going to pop off. So, going well. Hurting my wallet, but still going well. And we sauntered down the road. It was a nice part about that little Rose street there in Venice. There's tons of these little out-of-the-way bars. It's a cool little area. There really is a nice little neighborhood over there. Just, despite the fucking homeless menace, Walking Dead fucking the force of homeless scuzz buckets and drug dealers. But we walked down to another bar. Now we got a couple more drinks. I get one more because I'm feeling it. And I'm like, I don't want to be fucking hungover. I got to work tomorrow. Richard Lewis. I don't want to fucking drink too much. I get one more. I think she gets two more. So she's really doing good. So we're a little love and touch and squeezing. We're getting touchy. I'm like, wow, this is a fucking date. It's actually it's not bad. She's not obnoxious. You know, I don't want to fucking hang myself or like go to the bathroom and then leave out the back door because you know none of this shit. This fucking never happens. So the question comes. What do you want to do after this? Now it's like 10:30, 11. We met at like 6. Yeah, we hung out a long time, man. I met her at 6 o'clock. And at 10, we go back to her place. She lives close by in Marina Del Rey. At one of the actual... Tanya, if you're listening, she lives at the... Well, she lives next to Marina 41 over there. It's really high-end. I mean, real... Like, I'm talking now half mile from the fucking water. Right by the beach. Really fucking nice apartment complex. Me and Tanya don't get any on ya. Almost got a place over there for a hot minute when I was trying to move over to this side of town. Nice fucking place. Well, she lives like at the one next door. I think it was even nicer. She's driving like a fucking 2017, like a fucking Mercedes or something. Really nice car. I'm like, wow, this chick's doing well. So right off the bat, I'm already starting to run down the checklist. She makes way more fucking money than me. This is never gonna work. She makes more money than me. This is LA shit. It's just not gonna. It doesn't fly. You know what I mean? Anyways, go back to her place, and we get on the fucking couch and we start fucking around. We start doing a little of that fucking making out, a little booty pinching, a little fucking titty cup, and I'm like, wow, these are fucking big. What a set of jugs on this fuck. And she puts on Jeselnik special on Netflix. I like Jeselnik. I've never sat through an extended set of his. I've only seen him at the store, you know, do 20 minutes. I like him. A special from him feels long because he just jokes. He just does jokes. He doesn't do real, you know what I mean? He does shtick. He doesn't do like real life stuff. And I'm good for about a half hour of that. And it really starts to get tedious for me personally. He's good at it. I like him. He's funny. And his jokes are good. I just personally... I'm not crazy about specials anyways, no matter who. But I'm not crazy about joking. I like stories and I like, you know, real shit situations. And she's laughing her tits off at this fucking thing. She's already seen it once. And I'm trying to fuck around and make a climb on. She's like, she's getting real great, pulling me on top of her on her fucking couch, getting it on and shit. And she keeps, every time we start fucking kissing and shit, she starts laughing at the goddamn specials on real loud in the living room. And all the lights are off and shit. All we got is old fucking AJ there on the TV. And I'm just like, can we fucking turn this fucking thing off? So I basically had to wait till it was over. She wouldn't like, I don't know. She didn't have the wherewithal to realize that this was fucking up the whole shebang here. Because the fucking special's on and she keeps laughing. But I was like, motherfucking Jeselnik. So I get her into the fucking bedroom. And this is going to get graphic, so if you don't like sex stuff, well, not too graphic, but I mean, it's part of the fucking story. What do you want me to do? Did I just kick the fucking e-brake? Oh, no, okay. We get in bed, start fucking around. She goes, I'm going to take my pants off because I'm not, they're tight and I'm not comfortable in my bed with them on. What the fuck was that noise? Something just fell. Did you hear that? Something fell. It sounded like heavy plastic. I don't know what that was. Little yellow, different. I said, I'm going to take mine off too. Now, if you know me, I'm not the underwear wearing type. My jeans fit just so that if I wear boxers or something, they ride up. I don't know. I've just, the last 5-10 years, I've just taken to jeans, no underwear on. I free ball it every day. Shorts. In fact, as you heard, was that earlier this year? I forget. I think it was last summer. I was going, never mind, whatever. It's a fucking story from another show. But one time I was wearing a pair of shorts at Irvine Improv doing something, and I ripped them all the way up the leg when I squatted down to pick something up, and I had no underwear on, so my fucking dick and balls and everything were just hanging right out there, exposed, and I had to duck walk to Target over there in the fucking Spectrum Center and buy a new pair of shorts. And you know the ironic part is, those shorts that I bought to replace those shorts, which I really liked, they were camouflage dicky, those are starting to go, and those already got wear holes in them, so those are fitting to rip too, as the brothers say, they're fitting to rip. So I better watch it, nose, you know what I'm saying? No leg day in those fucking shorts at the game. But, so yeah, pants are off. She pulls me on top of her. And I don't know if this has ever happened. It was like hitting a bullseye on a dartboard. I was just kind of grinding on her and thrust. And my dick slipped right into her. It just went right in. We were both like, it was so not supposed to happen. I honestly wasn't even really. I was just kind of poking around a little bit. It was just like, oh, oh boy, there it goes. It's in now. So we just start fucking. And I'm like, wow, I can't fucking believe this, man. Like, I haven't had. I mean, there's so many like a breaking of normal procedures here. Like, usually the date, we don't even go back to their house, much less fuck, much less even like not hate her guts and just want to leave and not even finish the date. I mean, it's usually just a fucking disaster out here. But so I was like, oh my God, this is fucking happening. What are big tits? So we start fucking. It's really dark. It was really dark in the room, so I couldn't see her super good. But she kind of had this she had this sad look on her. Well, I mean, I'm used to this. Most women do once they find out my penis is inside them. But I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, you just wanted to fuck. I felt so bad. I was like, I was going to fucking cry. I was like, oh my God, look, what is this happening all the time? I thought, but I like really liked her. I really wasn't just trying to. I couldn't believe it was happening. I basically said that. I'm like, I can't. I didn't even mean for this. I didn't think this was going to happen, but we are. And she was like, all right. I'm like, no, I'm not. I like you. This is great. Like, let's fuck. Let's. I'm gonna make it come a whole bunch, and I did. And it was decent sex. She gave a lousy blowjob. It was too fucking forceful. Too much handwork. Nick, to the point where I had to stop her because her teeth were just fucking grinding on me like a goddamn cheese grater. I'm like, okay. Why don't you come up here, you big old goose, and hop on the old fucking fireman's pole here and fuck my brains up. So, we did it. I did it. $100 dinner, everything. You know what? It's worth it. If you get laid in the end, it's kind of worth it, right? So, I really like her. We lay there in post fucky bliss, coitus? Post-coitus? Talking. Now it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to work the next day. Now, luckily, I work real close to here, and I live real close. She got a nice, big, giant kick. Nice fucking apartment. Nice. This woman does good. She's like, why don't you stay over, and I'll drive you back to you. I didn't drive. She drove me to her place. My car is back over there a few miles away in Venice, which I never let this kind of shit happen, but I did now, and I was like, fuck. Well, I guess I'm stuck here. I kind of like her. I guess I'll sleep here, go home in the morning. I've always been bad at sleeping next to people. It has gotten significantly worse. I am such a light sleeper at 38 years of, a fucking pin drop wakes me up. It is awful. I'm terrified, especially if it's a first time sleeping. I'm terrified of farting next to somebody. I'm terrified of making weird noises. Does anyone else get this? I know I talked about it. If you fall asleep, it usually happens to me mostly. If I'm real tired, I'm taking a nap in the middle of the day. When you are about to fall asleep, and it seems like this happens more when people are around. I don't know why. Sometimes when I'm by myself, I catch myself doing it, but more when someone's around. I don't know if it's some kind of weird thing where my own brain rebelling against me, but do you ever fall into a hard sleep and you make a noise? You start going, and then you wake up and you go, did I just make that noise? Like, you don't even know. Like, did I dream that I was just making that noise, or did I actually make it? And there has been times where, you know, I've lived with girls, but I've lived with girlfriends a couple times, and I'm like, did I just make a noise? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh. But then there's other times that I did. So it's like a real fucking, it's like a real three-card Monty that my brain plays with me to embarrass the fuck out of me next to another human being. But I'm worried about that. I can't sleep next to anyone for shit. I need 4 to 5 pillows. I need one to clutch. I need one between my knees, and I need 2 to 3 for my head, depending on their thickness. I had 2, maybe. And my fucking bony knees are just rubbing together. I'm just like, I fucking laid there all night. I probably got 2 hours of sleep, which I kind of knew was going to happen, but it was just like that, like, maybe I really like this one, and it'll be a nice first night cuddle. I'll take the hit. I will go to work with fucking barely any sleep and hopefully not hungover. I wasn't, thank God. I barely felt it. I was there a little bit. I quit drinking. I'm between the holidays and everything else. I'm taking at least a month off. I am done until February. I'm just tired of it. I went out 3 times since this, and I got fucking Diet Cokes at every bar, and it was fantastic. And I forgot how much easier it is just to get a soda. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just did this for a whole year. Just get a fucking soda at the goddamn bar. Put it in a rocks glass. Feels like I'm drinking. I'm fine. Yeah, because I'm really starting to, like I said, the last couple episodes, last couple weeks I've been fucking hitting it pretty good. Not getting shit and wasted, but enough, whatever. Who the fuck needs to know all my specs of the alcohol I'm consuming? So that's where I'm at. I wake up, now it's Friday morning. I am fucking like a zombie. I'm so, I'm really fucking tired. And she wants to hang out again Friday night. I was down to see her Friday night, but I got out of work late, and she was doing something else late, and I just wanted to go to bed. I'm like, I am going to bed at like 10. She's like begging me. She's like, I'll come over and get you right now. Just come over. Like, I want to fuck again so bad. And I was just like, it's gotten to the age where a good night's sleep is more enticing to me than even a night of fucking someone new with big tits. That's when you know you're starting to get up there. I'm like, I just like wait, like in a cartoon when they have like two, there's like a split screen like thought bubble above my head, and one is me sleeping soundly, and the other is like 1 a.m. and we're just getting into her bed, and I'm just like, nah, I'm going to sleep. She was pretty pissed. She's like, I live white fucking. She's like, just come home, fuck me, and go home. She's like, I'm just really horny. Like, we had good sex. Like, just let's fuck again. I was just like, I'm too tired. I'm going home. We'll hang out fucking tomorrow, which would have been Saturday. So that's what happened that night. Now, hang on. Did I miss anything? Hang on a second. I'm doing this all off my, doing this all from memory here. Hang on. I gotta turn the lights on in the cab. Traffic's only going 5 miles an hour here in the fucking 405. But, she chomps her teeth in her sleep. She was doing this weird thing. I just kept hearing, and I'm like, and I could feel her like head doing something, and I was like, what the fuck. I've never seen or heard this. She chomps her teeth really fucking hard in her sleep. And I was like, you know, you fucking chomp your teeth in your sleep. And she's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, like really hard, like all night long. And she was like, she goes, oh my God, I'm doing that again. And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh yeah. I was like, I had like things from the dentist to make that. She wore like a thing to make it stop. And she didn't even know she was doing it. And it came back, and I'm like, that's got to like, dude, if you do that all night, every night, that's got to be chipping away at your fucking teeth. That's got to be fucking your shit up, man. Anyways, Saturday, she wants me to come over, and at like 3 or 4, she's leaving to go to Magic Castle with her friends. Magic Castle is this thing in LA. It's like invite only. She had two. This was signed up months ago before she met me, so she couldn't get me on. She could only bring her two friends. We're driving up to San Diego. She's like, my two friends are coming. We're gonna hang out for a while. Get ready to leave at like 4. I was going to go do that West Side mic at 6 o'clock there. And I said, cool, I'll come over and hang out for a couple hours when you leave, and I'll go do that mic. This is, by the way, first second date in, I don't know, years? I can't remember the last time I had a fucking, we actually hung out another night, another day. I said, okay, I'll come over. She said, come over, meet my friends, blah, blah, blah. So I come over, and I don't know what it was. But as soon as she comes walking out of her building, I'm watching her walking closer. I'm just like, I don't know about this chick. I don't know, you know? Look, all you've done is cry that you want a fucking girlfriend in a steady relationship for the past 20 episodes. What the fuck are you doing? I don't know. I just couldn't put my friend. I'm just like, yeah, this chick is so. She's 37. I'm going to refrain. I have learned my lesson in the past. I'm not going to say anything. Particularly mean or too specific. I'll just say she looks all of 37. She looks all of 37. You know what I mean? You know about the biggest problem is she's got really thin little lips when we kiss. I love like kissing and making out, a big fucking kissy fuck. And I got big. I look like two fucking gummy worms laying out this fucking top of my mouth there. And she's got two just little tiny fucking bird lips. And I'm just, I hate that. I can't, her lips bother me. I can't, it doesn't fucking. You know what I mean? I'm almost dreading kissing her. I'm like, oh, those little weird little fucking, O-rings for your, I don't know, fucking touch, you know? Get the fuck out of here with those. So, like, right away, I'm just like, ah, man, she's great. I just don't think she's girlfriend great. So then her friends come. These two people come from San Diego. So the thing is, they're going to get ready. I'm basically just coming over just for like an hour or two just to see her, right? And this chick's like all over me. We're all holding hands and kissy and just like being like girls, like fucking sweet. You know what I mean? And she really is sweet. This chick is a fucking great girl. She really is a fucking sweetheart. And her friends come from San Diego, and this was like the most all-American couple. They were from Jersey, and they were a Jersey couple. The way they fought, the way they talked to each other, holy shit! This dude looked like. I don't know how this guy isn't fan. This dude looked like a fucking movie. He had like 50s movie star hair, and he had a voice like he was always making a speech, and there was a mic in front of him. Like he talked really loud, and this fucker's voice. This dude, like, he had a great like speaking voice. He could have been like a voiceover guy, and this fucking guy's voice carried like you could feel like through the floor. When he was like Lawrence Fishburne. He was just a fucking big, loud, stentorian fella. I mean, the guy could have like turned into. He was like real good looking, square jawed. He could have just, like, turned into fucking Superman in a full way. And then his chick was like, she looked like a president of a company. She reminded me of Annette Bening in American Beauty kind of person. You know what I mean? She had that kind of, like, demeanor to her. Not a cunt or anything. She seemed like a nice chick, but just very, like, she was pretty but not gorgeous. She was in shape. She could have used it. She was almost a little too thin, but she was in, you know what I mean? It was just, like, this all-American, like, they were, like a fucking, they were, like, a sitcom family's neighbors. On a show. They were just ridiculous. But they were like fighting the whole time because the dude didn't want to wear these pants because you got to get all dressed up. And he was saying that the pants that he had on, which were kind of like corduroys, would be good enough to get into place. And he didn't want to wear the dress pants that he brought. And like, you got to put them on. He's like, I'm not fucking wearing them. He's like, listen, I'll get, and he was like a real, he owned like his own company and shit. Like, this dude was a fucking riot. And he's just like, he's like, don't worry. I'll get myself in with these pants. I'll take care of it. It's like, trust me. And I was just like, I just believed him. I'm like, you know what? That dude ain't going to have a problem. He's just like, this is why a guy like this makes it in L.A. He sounds like he knows what the fuck he's talking about at every minute. Like, that guy could come up to me and be like, your name's not Luke. Your name's Pete. You didn't grow up in Depew, New York. You grew up in Westchester, Illinois. And your father's name was Joe and your mother's name was Mary. And I'd be like, yeah, dude, you must be right. This just sounds so fucking, yeah. How did I not know all this? He's this kind of motherfucker, right? Dude could have been a good con artist and shit. So, like, we're waiting around. The chick's getting ready, and then my chick goes and gets ready, and she gets in this fucking dress. She gets in this outfit. And when she walks out in it, I'm like, this is the best this chick. Now, listen, I'm no fucking Clark Gable. I looked at pictures. Rocha took pictures of me doing stand-up the other night. And I am such an unattractive man. Like, I just have a big, fat, glob head. I got big lips and too small of a mouth. I got a bird's egg in my throat. I have a crooked eye. My hair is... I'm a mess. I'm a fucking piece of shit. You know, so I'm not... You know, I'm not saying too good, but... She got herself together, and I was just like... can't. I just like decided right then. She walked out in her thing, and when she walked out... It was like there was like I don't know. I just decided right there. I was like, nah, I'm not, I can't do this. Not into it. Just not into her. So she's getting ready to leave, and she's like, well, let's hang out. We get back at like midnight or 11 or something, and we can hang out and blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, sure, why not? I'm like, yeah, sure, call me. And I'm just like, oh, God, please don't call me. And just... when I was in New York with Bokes when we went to Ant's house that time, and we were staying over at who's that chick that he knows? Lisa, the reality TV brought an apartment in Brooklyn, and I couldn't sleep the one night, and I was reading Slash's biography, and I was reading it, and there's this fucking one part where he's talking about this chick that he dated that was just like, she was just perfect, and she was gorgeous, and she loved all of his friends, and his friends loved her, and she loved his fucking kid, and like, she was just, she was just great. And it was like around, I think it was like depressed or in one of his drug fits or whatever. And I'm sure he's got a fucking depression kind of thing. And you know what I mean? It's like Slash. It's not like he's like, hey, how's it going? He's not like a fucking, you know, I'm sure he's got demons and shit. I got some demons, but. And he's watching her dress his house, like put direct, like decorations on his Christmas tree. And she's hanging Christmas. And he said she was just walking around his house humming. and hanging up Christmas lights. And he was just, and in that moment, he was like, "You got to get the fuck out of here. See, I got to get rid of this chick." Like something about that just annoyed the shit out of him. And he, the next day, he got, like on Christmas Day or something, he just fucking cold gave her the boot, changed the lock, and fucking dropped a hammer on that motherfucker. I was like, Jesus, Slash. But it was like that. It's just a moment where you just know. And then I get this guilt complex. Like, she's such a sweetheart. She really likes you. She's not clingy. She's got her own place. She's got no fucking pets. No dogs. No nothing. I'm a fucking dream woman. I fucking hate pets. I hate dog hair. Every one of these broads I meet on fucking Tinder and Bumble and Plenty of Fish. Okay, Cupid. Good. I'm dog mom. I'm a dog mom. I have two dogs and I love them. One's name is Lincoln and the other one's name is Petey. And they walk every fucking day. And you go over and just... They don't pay attention to you. They're playing with their dog. You're trying to fuck, and the dog is on the bed, but it's sniffing your asshole and shit. And then the dog's trying to fuck you. It's a whole thing. I fucking hate animals. I hate pets. Fuck off. Stupid. And I'm just saying, I just couldn't get into it. So I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the last time I'm going to see her. And it looks like it is, because I've been blowing her off, and now she has stopped texting. I really feel bad, man. And yes, I do. I wanted to. So here's another pause. She wanted me to come over earlier Saturday. Saturday, I have taken to a walking LA cliche. I go down to my Starbucks there a couple blocks away, and I fucking write for several hours. I take my computer, and I'm writing a screenplay, and I want it done by... I wrote like six more fucking pages this Saturday. I sat in there for 4 or 5 fucking hours. Went by in a fucking heartbeat, man. I start writing. I can't believe how fucking fast. I look up. It's fucking 1:30. I'm like, what the fuck? I got here at 10. Like, holy shit. Something about being in there, and this Starbucks is perfect because the Wi-Fi doesn't work very well. I need Wi-Fi to use the screenwriting software for some fucking reason, but it's not good enough to really be able to navigate and fuck around on the web. So it gives me just enough to be able to use my screenwriting shit, and that's it. And there's something about being in there with the background noise and the people, and just the fact that I'm like there on a fucking mission, really fucking helps me write. Like it's good. It's a good fucking like new writing habit I got. I'm like, oh man, this could work. I can get this fucker done. I can like write regularly. At the very least, I could write every Saturday for a good 3-4 hours. Like, that's something, you know. And she wanted me to come over in the morning. I'm like, I want to go write. And I had all this stuff. I had my whole fucking Saturday decked out, and I had to basically make a window to go hang out with her. And I'm just like, I don't want to fucking do. This is what my life has become: a regimented, constant, self-indulgent application of myself and the things I want to do, like stand up and writing and all this kind of stuff. And say, I don't have really fucking time for it. I have to find like the perfect chick who is also really busy and wants to hang out here and like be steady. I'm not saying even fuck other people, but just like just wants to hang kind of whenever and at night I don't know. I got a whiff of a girlfriend and I panicked. I'm like, oh, she's gonna fuck up my whole schedule and all my stuff. Like, what am I doing? I'm in the Lost Souls room of Beetlejuice of dating. I don't know what I want. I don't know who to get. I don't know. So that I basically got into a relationship and broke up since the last podcast. That could have been a thing. And I fucked it up, and I feel bad. She's a sweetheart, but what am I going to do? She doesn't... I need somebody that's unavailable emotionally. I need somebody that I'm not sure if she likes me back. I need Chase, and I need someone kind of shitty and crazy. Honestly, I just do. I need a creative, weird fucking person. I'm pretty sure. So, that was that chick. I also met another girl. I'll do my girl wrap up here. Met another chick on Bumble almost immediately. She looked like a fucking my type of punk rock hardcore. She had like Betty Page bangs. She looked like a big, like 5'11", big bones, big titties, just a fucking big slab of meat, and tattoos and fucking kind of more my. She just looked like a classic kind of chick that I like. You know what I mean? She looked like a metal chick or something. So she's meet her on Bumble. We're talking, texting. So she actually called. She's like, I like this chick's attitude because she was kind of boss bitch. She was kind of bitchy, like a bitch. Like, no, I'm going to fucking call you. You're going to pick up your phone. I'm like, I hate talking on the phone. I don't feel like it. I went home last night and I fucking fell asleep for 2 hours. I took a 2-hour fucking nap. I was like, holy shit. I never fucking sleep that long. I usually sleep 20 minutes. I was all fucked up. And I was like, I just woke up. I'm all fucked up. So she calls me. And I kind of like, she's like, you call. You better pick that fucking phone up. And she did. I like this chick's attitude. So, like, I'm talking to her. Long time. I talked to this chick for almost fucking 2 hours. And halfway through, I've been talking to her for days, texting, but this is we're supposed to hang out tomorrow night, Thursday. We had a date set, everything. Because I basically took my cards off Big Tit Sweetheart's table and put it on his new broad. Now, this chick lives out in fucking Thousand Oaks, which is far. She's out past Malibu and shit. Way, really far, like 40 fucking miles away. Ridiculous. But she was kind of hot. And we're talking, and it's going well. I'm like, wow, I really fucking like this girl, too. This chick's fucking great. She seems like a pisser, and I bet we have fun. She kind of works in the industry a little bit. And I realized halfway through, but when I got her name, I had forgotten that I did. I checked her Facebook, which only has, you know, like if you're not friends with someone on Facebook, there's still a handful of pictures in their profile thing or whatever, like their cover album pictures, all that kind of shit. There's a limited number of pictures you can look at. One of the pictures, a very prominent picture of a kid on a beach, little boy, 5 years old. And it popped up in a whole bunch of her little, whatever, of the albums I had access to. I'm like, is this her kid? Is this her nephew? What the fuck's going on here? Doesn't say anything about her having a kid in her fucking Bumble profile, in her, not a picture of him on her Instagram, and nothing about a kid. So we're halfway through the thing, and I go, you have a kid? And she hemmed and hawed about it and danced around it, and yes, she did have a kid. Yes, you did, Brett. Yes, you did. And Marcellus Wallace don't like dating women with kids. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You didn't feel the need to maybe put that in your fucking profile or make any kind of, you know, intimation whatsoever that you had a fucking child, because some people don't really want to fucking date single moms. Some people don't really want to date single moms. Turn into fucking Chris Rock there for a minute. And then, like, the entire thing just took an abrupt... I was, like, really annoyed. I'm like, you fucking deceptive motherfucker. Like, you don't tell me. I don't want to date a fucking single mom. I can't do it. And then she starts grooming. Why don't you want to date one? I'm like, because it's two different lifestyles. And it's one I can't relate. I don't want to hear about your kid. And of course, my kid is so funny. Let me tell you something. Everybody thinks their kid's hilarious. And Bert Kreischer, all these fucking... Jay Moore, all these guys. They're so fucking funny. It's a Florentine. Kids ruin everyone. Your kid's not funny to anyone else but you, fuck nuts of planet Earth. Shut up! I just wanted to get off the phone with her. And I'm just like, by the end of the phone call, I'm just like, I went from like really liking her at the beginning of the call to by the end, like, I don't ever, this is, no, this ain't, this is going on. You live too fucking far away, now you have a kid too, and I don't want to fucking bother with it. I'm just like, fuck this. So there's two down. So the other night, here we go, this is Girl Roundup, we're getting through it. I go to meet Pretty Emily, who's been in several of my sketches on Fun or Die, FunorDie.com. Weirfeld, most prominently featured in the Mangria commercial that aired nationally that Adam Carolla picked up and was on what was the name of that network over there? It's an offshoot of Spike. It's the Velocity Network. Thanksgiving weekend, 2015, this commercial played all weekend with Adam Carolla's, the Paul Newman Racing Doc. They took it, they re-edited it. I think they kept her in it, though. So she had, none of us made any money, but she got national exposure during a commercial. That was pretty cool, because this chick is fucking gorgeous, and she's pretty cool. She's fun to hang with. She's from my neck of the woods back there in fucking upstate New York. So I've stayed friends with her, and she's been in a couple of our things. She was Jonesy in, what was the fucking, the Cops one, but she grilled me. She's like, when are we making part two? She's like, I fucking love, she's like, I read that script all the time, and I want to play Jonesy again, and I got my camo paint already picked out and shit. I was like, fuck. All right, we'll get it done. I do. That's one of my goals for this year, is to make part two of that detective. She's like, that will make a good series. You got to do it. Like, she was right, too. She's like, you fucking dropped the ball. You're not pursuing it. You're not trying to get it going. I'm like, God damn it, you're right, fucking Pretty Emily. I am going to get a move on it. So it was Emily's birthday in Hollywood. She's a bartender. She has a party in Hollywood, right on fucking, like, Hollywood and, like, fucking Vine. Like, a real... Hollywood fucking bar. It's a Monday night. It's dark inside. She's been telling me about this for like a month. She's like, you gotta come, because I want you to, I wanna hook you up with my fucking friend, I forgot her fucking name, Christy or some bullshit. And she's like, she's cute, and she's funny, and she does stand up, and she does improv, and she's just like, she's just totally your type. I think you guys would get along, and you should meet her. And I was like, okay. So I, again, check this chick's Facebook. Kind of funny looking, but cute enough. Again, I'm aware that I'm a fucking ugly piece of shit. I'm just, you know, I still have fucking eyes and I can judge other people. Why the fuck not? I judge myself, didn't I? Hang on, I need a drink. So all I saw was her pictures. I go to the birthday. It's Monday night. It's late. Or Sunday night. This is a Sunday fucking night at 10. I got to work the next day. I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder to fucking stay out for this guy. Which fucking kills me because I love staying out and going out and meeting people and shit. But I meet her. I say hi, blah, blah, blah. She's like, well, she didn't show up. She's still. And I basically drove all the fucking way there just to meet this fucking bro. I wanted to see Emily, too. It was her birthday. Girl didn't show up. So I was like, all right. Well, so I stayed for 20 minutes and left. And I found her name, and I look up this. I happen to find this chick's account on Instagram. And, oh, boy, was I happy she did not show up. I was like, there's a paradigm of there's people that just they want to be funny so bad, and they want to be entertainers, and they just have no. They just do. I mean, God bless them. They just do it anyways. But it, none of it is. This chick was obnoxious. This chick is such a fucking attention whore. Just endless, like, Instagram. Every fucking single one of her Instagram pictures has, like, that little camera icon because it's a video. And she makes, like, funny videos. And then and all of them, she's always, like, they're just so fucking, dude. It's something, like, they would play on, like, Morning Zoo Radio. It's just fucking, oh, God. Just not fun. Just awful. Just, I was like, God, I got through like 10 of them. I was like, thank fucking, I never want to see this woman in real life ever. This is fucking like the antithesis of funny to me. This is just bad chick, like cutesy mall humor. Get the fuck out of here with this shit. So there goes another one. So you know, I put a button on all this. Saturday night, I get a, this is it. This is the last part of the girl roundup. Saturday night, I hope I made it entertaining. Saturday night, this the same gal. I haven't seen this one from Halloween. Now, this is one from a long time ago. One of the first chicks I met on Plenty of Fish, probably 5 fucking years ago. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing Saturday night. I was like, what am I doing? She was like, you know what I'm doing? Avoiding going out with the fucking big tits that I had met that really liked me. And she's like, well, I want to fuck. And I don't have my kid. This chick's got kids, too. Now, this girl knows how to do it. She just wants to party and fuck every once in a while. But she's like, yeah, I need to get fucked. I said, all right. She goes, you know what I'll do? Now, she lives far. She lives an additional. Now, I moved over by my work. Before, I lived in the valley. This bitch lives in, like, Hawthorne. She lives, like, another 20 miles from where I'm at now at my fucking new place. I'm like, holy shit, you live fucking far. She's like, I'll get us a fucking hotel over here. And let's fucking, I'll pay for it. We'll meet up. And I'm like, that's so fucking sleazy and, like, weird. And like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So she gets us a fucking hotel room, and I meet her over. And so I'm driving there, and there was like one of those traffic breaks. We have on the freeway. There's an accident. A cop will get ahead of all the traffic and start weaving in and out of the lanes, and then you know some shit's coming because they're going to stop all fucking lane. I'm like, fuck this. I wasn't that far from the place, but I get off the freeway, and I'm somewhere in like fucking deep Inglewood or something, and I tell you, it was one of the worst neighborhoods I have ever fucking seen. I was like, oh my. There was street. It's like I went back to like 1970s fucking Manhattan. There's like street where like pimps walking around with like feathers in their hats and shit. There's like fucking street walking prostitutes. Like, oh, I haven't seen that ever. All fat black chicks. I was just like, what the fuck? Where am I? Holy shit. Roll them up. Like, let's get to this point. Dude, it was a fucking mess. It was scary as fuck, dude. There's all kinds of just, yeah. So we get to this hotel, and like, I see it. It's like right off the freeway. A few miles from this real bad neighborhood. And it was just kind of like one of these truck stoppy LA, you know, it was just like a main kind of thoroughfare. I'm like, oh, this ain't bad. And it was a fucking Motel 6 or whatever, or one of those, what kind of was it? Like one you'd see on the fucking, on the thruway driving anywhere in America, one of those chains. And I'm like, this ain't bad. And I get into the parking lot, and it was just fucking, like Batman wouldn't even, if someone was in trouble and Batman was there, he'd be like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here. And he wouldn't even bother. He'd just take off. It was like, so fucking seedy and creepy. I'm like, boy, I don't want to leave my fucking car parked here. This ought to be interesting. So I'm here, and she's like, it'll be okay. She's like, let's go down the street and get a drink, because it was only like 10 o'clock on Saturday. So we went to a gay bar close by. But it was actually a really nice bar. It was fucking cool. It looked like those nicer, it was the only bar that was like close. It was like almost walking distance. And it looked like any of those like more upper scale valley bars. Like, what's that bar group that owns all the fucking like the Fifth? And it was like one of those. It was actually a fucking really cool little spot. It had this big ass patio. There's like hardly anybody in there. Big ass patio in the back. So we went, and I start knocking them back, and I don't know why she just liked here. She just kept prodding me to talk. She would just keep bringing stuff up to like, I don't know. She was just like, I was just going on these rants. And before I knew it, I was three Jack and Cokes deep, and I was pretty drunk. And I was just drunk and ranting and telling her stories, and she was like laughing, and she was like, I could listen to you like talk online. I was like, don't fucking encourage me, because I will. But you know, it was the first time I've been like pretty good drunk in a long time. But then like, but just drunk and rambling, which I love to do. And it was a fun drunk. I was just great. I was like, this is fucking wonderful. And I was like, and this is it. After this, I'm done drinking for a month, because I've this is the culmination of it. So whenever we hang out, we actually had a pretty good time. Hang out at the bar. Go back to the hotel room. And got down to business, and I fucked the shit out of her. I like that. I got laid twice between the last time. One new acquisition and one older one. But, you know, this chick is like, I should put a picture of her up. She photographs, so she looks fucking beautiful, this girl. Like in pictures, you'd be like, oh, my God. She's like a hot chick, right? She had a couple kids. And her body is like a mess. You know, she wore like a heavy coat. And she's pretty plump. Her body's kind of a fucking mess. And her pussy's a mess. Sorry, pussy's a mess. But she's a squirter, so I like fucking whatever. For some reason, though, I'm really attracted to her. Even as awful looking as she is. But she's really fucking pretty. She's gorgeous. She's not huge. She's not a big, fat, giant. You know, she's short. And when you're short and you gain some weight, not a lot of places for that weight to go. You know what I mean? It piles up pretty quick. So, that's her story. But, yeah, nice fucking drunk, fucking reckless Saturday night. Fell asleep there until 5 o'clock in the morning. Drove home. Left her in a goddamn hotel room because I probably slept 1 hour of the night. This was even worse. I had a pillow. They gave us two. I mean, not what would you expect in Compton or whatever fucking war zone we were in. Where the fucking, there's like bullets, fucking straight bullets flying to the room and shit. I was like, one shot her bra off. I wouldn't expect a cornucopia of fucking pillows anyways, but I had one and I could barely sleep on it. So, a lot of girls there in between the last. I told you, 2018. I told you that time was going to turn. This is going to be the year of the puss. You know, Lucha's going to get back on a fucking vagina horse and do some of that fucking. You know what I mean? It's true. I'm a man of my word. You know what I'm saying? Stay hungry, stay horny. That's one of the tenets of this show. Let's see. Where do we go here? I just ran through. That's page one. It's a three pager, so I think that I'm going to guess this is going to be an hour and 15 minutes. That's what I'm going to call it now. I haven't even looked at the clock. With my girl in a noisy apartment the other night. Okay. Yeah, I guess that wraps that up. So that's okay. So I do that. God damn, it's hard to steer this fucker with my knee. Jesus, I'm not fucking hesitant. This guy's looking at me like, what the fuck? Are you drunk? I'm drunk with power, man. So, hang on, I need a drink. Hang on. So, I think it was Sunday. Touch hungover. Not slept much. Still putting off working out. I finally got my ass back in the gym today, but it's the 10th. I haven't worked out since the week of fucking Christmas, Christ sakes. I'm like, I don't fucking feel like working out. So I went to the movies to see The Post. It's a new Spielberg movie. Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, and it's about the theft and release of the Pentagon Papers and the ensuing battle between Richard Nixon White House and the press. He tried to get papers shut down. He tried to get injunctions to stop newspapers from printing these things, which is now, you know, the movie obviously vilifies Nixon, and he made a lot of mistakes and did a lot of bad things, but kind of had a point. I mean, I hate to be this guy, man, but it's just, I try to look at both sides of shit. I try to be Mr. Spock about stuff, and it's like, yes, Nixon was bad, and he abused his executive privilege and all this kind of stuff. But on the same time, classified documents someone fucking stole. You can't really, what is it, just because you didn't like the Vietnam War, and yes, there was proof in there that they lied and everything else. But like, you can't. It's just like you have to have courts of law and innocent until proven guilty, because then we have lynch mobs and things. You just can't. No matter how bad it is, you can't steal government documents and release them. So I was in a weird spot watching the movie, because on the one hand, of course, they pump up the hero, the protagonist, to be this underdog newspaper. It's a Washington Post, which wasn't doing well at the time. I don't know if that's real, if they hyped it up for the movie, but like that paper was doing bad. I think it was about to get bought out and lost. And Meryl Streep plays the chick that's the family that owns, that has always owned the paper. She's like the granddaughter of the guy that started it. She's trying to hold that paper together, and they're losing in the ratings to the other, to New York Times, and a more significant. This is the early 70s this takes place. So she's basically kind of fighting for her life, and this Pentagon Papers thing could save their paper, but it could also send them all to jail, because the White House gets it passed, they're not allowed. If they print any more of those things, they'll be found in contempt, and they can all go to jail and lose the paper. All kinds of. So it's a high stakes thing. It's like if we don't run these papers, we lose all credibility. If we don't run them, we lose all credibility and everything else. And someone else will beat us to it. If we do run them, we could all go to fucking prison. We're all old and we have families, and we're not the doing time kind of fucking spot to be in. These aren't college kids. These are fucking professionals. So, but yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, you can't really do that, man. Like, I understand what's at stake. Whatever. What am I gonna keep repeating myself? That's so. Spielberg directs. Now, I had been hearing. Movie reviews and critics and like word of mouth with social media is just, it's just gotten so bad. It like ruins things before they even. They're like, Perilous and this movie could not be more timely than Trump might have. The parallels it draws between now and today are almost surreal. It's just exactly what's going on now. And it's like, so it was in between Meryl Streep never shutting the fuck up, stupid left-wing Hollywood liberal, complaining, whiny, cunt-rag, fucking annoying Meryl Streep, I was never a huge fan of Meryl Streep, to be quite honest. And now her real life her is making me hate her, I'm just like, do I want to sit through 2 hours of this fucking preaching and all this shit? And everyone else is like, you have to see this required viewing. If you want to know, like, Spielberg has his pulse on what... It has barely anything to do with Trump. I don't know why the fuck they're making this comparison. What? Trump is stopping papers from printing... What? There was like zero. I know he's mentioned. I don't know if he was like kidding or what. He was like, I would love to be able to revoke their fucking... their media license or whatever, but it's like, this is, I'm sorry, this is far, way different than Nixon using a federal court to stop fucking papers from being printed. Nothing even close to that has happened. What the fuck are these idiots talking about? God fucking sakes. So I was happy at least about that, because that's what I was worried about. Like, I don't need a fucking lesson about fucking Trump or whatever. I'm so tired of hearing it. Yet I go to movies to not think about this. The same with you. You watch football games to get away from it. You gotta put up with this take and eat bullshit. Everyone's political posturing. You want to forget about this crap because you're bombarded with it 24/7, and now it bleeds in all this shit. Anyways, if you have the same reservations about me, it really has nothing to do with Trump or anything. I don't know where they got that from. They're really digging on that one. I will say, this last leg of Spielberg's career, the last 20 years, has maybe been the most interesting, the most introspective. He does all these political movies, and he's now a lot of these. I mean, this is like his third or fourth one now. Lincoln and Bridge of Spies, and this, and Munich, and his touch of telling a story that really happened is so fucking compelling. He's so fucking good. Like, Spielberg is fucking. He might be my favorite. Him and Tarantino. He might have knocked Scorsese out of the box. That Tarantino and Spielberg might be my fucking two favorite directors, and Scorsese is almost a distant third. Honest to God, he's so good at telling a fucking story with a camera. Like, the way Bob and David are in it. Bob and David, Mr. Show, are both in it. They play main characters, and they work together. I was like, holy shit, Mr. Show. The way he just tracks, like, somebody comes off an elevator, and the camera fucking tracks back with them, and they walk through all these hallways, and they're saying hi to people, and then they walk into a big, busy office. We see the whole office. We see everybody buzzing around. We're following the main character. Main character goes in the office. Camera swings around. Now it gets another character. This is like, the main character's best friend. Then they have a whole... He does so much with one shot. Like, Paul Thomas Anderson's pretty. He does it at the beginning of Magnolia with all those tracking shots. And it'll track around, and then it'll just catch somebody else and start telling their story. All in, like, one thing. He's so fucking efficient at showing you stuff and telling you stuff. And I was like, fuck, like, this is so... I'll tell you, the first half, boy, was it slow. The first 45 minutes in, I'm like, this is fucking boring. Like, this is going absolutely fucking nowhere. A lot of just procedural shit and just... Not much going on. It was a long first fucking act and a half into the second act, and then it starts picking up. I'll jump in the end. I really liked it. It wasn't as good as... Bridge of Spies is a little slow, too, but it was better than this. This took a long time to get going. So if you're watching it and you're just like checking your watch, like it gets better. Because I was really checking it. I was like, God, this better go somewhere quick because I don't really feel like watching this anymore. But still, the way he tracks, the way he fucking shoots stuff, I just love it. He throws in like all these great little human touches, like the, I don't know if it actually really happened. He always throws in something human. You know what I mean? It's a movie, And it moves and get detached, but just little personal details. Like they have the whole, he has the whole staff come over, Tom Hanks' character has the whole staff come over his house to work on a thing. And his daughter's in there selling lemonade, and the girl, little girls walk around. Just like Lincoln, he shows Lincoln's kids. Because Lincoln was all about his family. And he made sure to fucking capture that set. It wasn't just like, here's historical facts about Lincoln put into a dramatic movie. It's like, no, he made him a real fucking living, breathing person with a family and little quirks and his little, weird little things people do. It's like fucking, it's, it almost gives it a fucking documentary feel. Like, I don't know many other guys that do that as well as goddamn Spielberg. There's this fucking scene where Meryl Streep gets this phone call, and it's a life-changing phone call, and she's like, what am I going to do? And like, I'm at a crossroads. And they fucking made this tracking shot, like, in the ceiling. I don't know how they did. They must have built a custom rig. But it's like they built a round track, like a Michael Ballhouse shot, in the ceiling. And the camera is panned down on her and just going in this, like, robotically timed circle. You know what I mean? It's just panning around her while she's on the phone, like one long take. But it was up in the air. It was so cool. I was like, how the fuck? I got to get the American Cinematographer or the ICG on that because I'm dying to see that rig. It was really fucking. If I do, I'll put it. No one gives a shit, but I'll put a picture of it in a thing. I was like, what a great. That was a great shot that you don't see. And it was so effective because it really drew you into the character. And it was like, it was kind of like a point of, like a God POV. Like we're looking down on her, like, and it made her smile. You know, it's just a great psychological camera move to do. It was great. They did this thing with the. And boy, did I wish Rogue One took a page from this. That he did this thing. It was fucking brilliant. He has Nixon in the movie. You know what he does? He films a guy that kind of looks like Nixon from outside the Oval Office window. So it's almost like we're peeking in like a peeping Tom, as my grandma would say. And it's Nixon. And they're playing the actual audio from real Nixon tapes. It was like, we got to get this goddamn fucking newspaper shut down. These liberal assholes, they're stolen documents and they're printing them. What are we going to do about these guys? And they're all real, you know, Tom Hanks plays a real guy. They're all playing real historical figures. So he's saying these guys' names, but you never really see Nixon because has anyone ever, I mean, how many times have you seen someone playing Nixon in a movie? Even Anthony Hopkins was great. Didn't look like him, didn't much sound like him either. No one can really nail, I mean, it's such a specific look, and no one can ever, they always over, do they give him too much jaw or too much nose? They can never get it right. So Spielberg's like, fuck that, I'm not even going to try. You're not even going to really see Nixon. You could tell it's him, and I'm going to use the actual audio from life, from the actual Nixon tape. That was fucking great. I'm like, I wish they did have a Governor Tarkin in Rogue One. Like, you see Rogue... Oh, man, there's a whole bit I can do about Rogue One. Maybe I'll come back to it at the end. The first time you see Tarkin in Rogue One, it's shot over his shoulder with him looking out the window of the Death Star, and you kind of see his reflection on the glass. And I'm like, oh, man, it's perfect. That looks just like, look how good that looks. Like, you can see him just enough to tell that looks just like Tarkin. And then he turns around, and he's in direct sunlight, and he's one of the fucking Polar Express characters. He looks like a fucking cartoon standing there fucking, but, like, they had it. They could have got away with it if it was more subtle. Just have Tarkin show up in, like, have him show up in a little hologram message, or just shoot him in a dark room with a blind, you know what I mean? Like, there's ways to obscure it so we can't see all the goddamn, the stitching, you know? But no, they don't. They show him in fucking total light where he looks completely fucking fake. God damn it. But he didn't do that with Nixon, which was great. I liked it, man. The Post, if you want to check it out, if you're a Spielberg fan. But I'm telling you, that guy really... I mean, I've obviously always respected him. And I've known he's a talented guy and everything, but it never really hit me in the guts of how good and how, I guess, how much I like him and always... I guess took it for granted because he's been around forever. He's a really a more talented guy than people give him credit for, and great fucking storyteller. You know what I will say about Scorsese? Because I that was pretty profound, man. I mean, I went to fucking film school because Scorsese and Paul Thomas Anderson, for all intents and purposes, changed my life. That's why I wanted to be. If I watched their stuff, and I said, I want to at least work on set and be around people like this and help people and fucking make the amazing movies and shit like that. It was one of my fucking dreams. But I mean, really, Scorsese's the one that broke it open. So I think back of Spielberg's body of work in the last 20 years and Scorsese's, and I'm like, yeah, fucking Scorsese's body. I mean, his movies with DiCaprio aren't fucking great. He just really took a turn. I got into Scorsese in like 98, 99. So at least I had, Bringing Out the Dead, which I loved. It just that ended an era. I mean, he started getting Gangs of New York, and they turned into everything turned into these big sprawling epics and Aviator and all. It just turned into like... not little personal Marty movies anymore. You know, there's no more Color of Monies or any of this shit that took place in New York. Everything's a fucking historical. I mean, I guess Wolf of Wall Street, but I fucking hate it. He lost me, man. I could give a shit about Scorsese anymore, kind of, which is sad to say. But I will say, they have those online dudes commercials for it. Well, they made that parody Bill Burr one, which is hilarious because they totally copied the commercial. There's like There's these online courses you can take now for the arts. There's an Annie Leibovitz one that shows you how to take pictures. There's a Ron Howard one that's like shows you how to direct. And now there's a Scorsese one that shows you how to direct. So I watched like the 2 minute commercial, and like it wasn't even over yet, and I was already like watching it, holding my computer, walking into my equipment room, just like instinctively just picking up a camera and putting a lens on it. It was like, this guy just like shits inspiration. Like, he's not even trying. And he had like three all-time classic fucking, you gotta watch it. If that ad pops up, it's in Instagram feeds and shit. I don't know if your phone tailors it to things that it knows that you like. I think there's a way they do that with cookies and advertising and all that kind of stuff. But if you see that Scorsese online editing thing and you give a shit about filmmaking, just watch the 2 minute commercial and you'll be like, I need to fucking make a movie right now. Well, he has a Kevin Smith quality though. It's just like, it's like, yeah, just get out there. The only way you're gonna learn how is by doing it. You know, just pick up a camera and go shoot. Your first movie's gonna be terrible. So don't worry about it. Just follow your passion and get up and you learn from your mistakes and you keep shooting. And next thing you know, your movies are getting a lot better. Like, it was all just like, he was just telling you like. Like the bad parts first. He's like, yeah, it's gonna, your cast and crew aren't going to show up, and it's going to be a mess. But they just push you forward, and then you learn how to deal with these problems. And then the next thing you do, you say, oh, that guy didn't show up, and now I know what to do because I did it last time. And you keep building. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, it's fucking hilarious. And he just hit three like all time classic. Like you could put him on like a filmmaking 101 at like a film school. Like you could put it on like the opening, like under the cover, like. You know, if you want to make a movie, go out and do it. You know, Martin Scorsese or something like that. He's got like three of those, and he wasn't even trying. I'm like, God damn that fucking guy! But I don't know, he's still great. I'm just, this lost me. All of his best work were his more personal, profound films, and now he makes big Hollywood movies. So that's that. The Post. Is it in your city? If it is, go see it. Did I miss anything? Let me see. Now I'm driving fast, so it's really hard to check these notes. Because this cab is fucking huge, and I got to reach all the way across the seats for it. Richard Nixon. Okay, we're on page 3. We're going to make it. Golden Globes. Where am I at? What am I time at? Oh, I'm at 105. Okay, all right. Golden Globes has happened. You've heard me talk about it. I can't stand award shows. I can't stand self-congratulatory shit for the arts. Makes me want to fucking puke. If you want to give awards, fine. But to have all this pomp and circumstance and this ass-kissing fucking ceremonies. Remember when award shows... So there's already that. I don't watch them. I'm on Twitter and everything. I listen to a lot of talk radio, so I hear people's recap. It all filters in to my brain somehow anyways, even with me not watching it. We're just bombarded with it. Remember when award shows were fun? Remember when it was just about... Here's where it turned. They used to be fun. Oh, did you hear what so-and-so said at the awards last night, blah, blah. Now it is just a nothing but... It's an opportunity to go up and just fucking... use the thing as a podium for your political beliefs. And it's just nothing but bitching and me too. I understand these things have to be brought to light and there's people out there that the Harvey Weinsteins of the world and shit need to be stopped. Absolutely. But to fucking make the whole show about it and the whole thing just have to get up and just look like a good guy and make sure you hit all... It's just fucking... You know where it turned? When Nicholson stopped... Remember when Nicholson went to a fucking award show? They were still fun. There'd always be a shot down to Jack in the front row with his glasses on, leaning down in his seat, and someone make a joke, and you see Jack laugh with that big-ass smile. And he'd always yell something back. He'd be like, and then you hear another laugh in the front row. Like, oh, Jack just yelled something to him. Did you hear that? Jack just said something smarter. We don't know because we're not Hollywood people. We can only surmise what Jack said. I'm sure afterwards at the after party, they'll all have another laugh about it. Did you hear Jack? The audience at home didn't hear it, but we did. You know, that's got to be fucking great. It must have been the best part of going to those award shows. And it just seemed like an era died with old Jack, who I think is going to die this year. I hear things about Alzheimer's and all kinds of things. Died with him not going. You know what I mean? It was the end of an era. It wasn't fun. Now it's just all fucking social media and everybody's goddamn message and their personal agenda. That's what the show's really about. Am I in the 405? This looks weird. What's going on right now? Did I go the right way? Here comes a big giant bunch of freeway signs. I hope I'm... This looks weird. And that's all it is. And that's all I fucking heard about. And it's just... Who isn't tired of Hollywood? Is anyone tired of just listening to Hollywood bitch about everything constantly? All the time, there's always some new cause and some new fucking thing. And, of course, the Donald Trump thing. And just, who the fuck? Who wants to sit and watch an award show like that? Like, you consciously want to sit and watch that? Just fucking just rich celebrity asses who make believe to be other fucking people. And they think they're the most important people in the fucking world for doing. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I hate to sound like fucking regular Joe, but this is doctors and cops and teachers and firefighters every fucking day and doing real work for like real change and making an actual difference in people's lives. And these shitheads are up there in their fucking tuxedos. Get the fuck out of here. Just kissing each other's fucking ass. Oh, with their fucking fake accents. I hate it. I don't care. I wish there was awards and they just printed the results. Like the whole, like, there's fucking, well, how many are there? How many do we fucking need? SAG, Golden Globes, Oscars, Emmys, Daytime Emmys. What the fuck? Like, just print them. Print them in Variety and go, here's everyone that won. We don't just televise ceremony with all this shit. I wish it would just go away. I can't stand it. I hate hearing about it. I hate hearing about so-and-so. The whole thing was it turned out to be, I don't know if you caught the aftermath of the Emmys. It was basically the coronation of Oprah Winfrey, Negro woman from the South. It was Oprah's coronation. I guess she's supposed to be president. This is the culture we're in, including our president now. Now it's turned into, well, I like them. I think they should be president. Oh, do they have any political experience? No, but I like them, and I see them on TV all the time. So I think they should. You just want to be president because you like them. Great. You know, I love, I don't even know where to go with this. That's not how politics work. So you should have a lifetime in politics and know how things work and how to make laws and how to, you know, work things and work with foreign. Really, Oprah's supposed to be president. Oh, my God. There is a huge push for that. And now she's already starting to fucking flirt with the idea. She was always like, no, I don't want to be president. I would never do that. Now there's been so much pressure and this whole liberal media fucking kissing her ass with their fucking head so far up her ass to try to get her to be president. I don't know how she's going to not even do it. But I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, can we stop with the celebrities as fucking, like, at least Arnold had some, at least he was married to a Shriver and was somewhat involved in politics before he became just governor. But really, we're just going to elect Oprah because we know her and we like her. Like, you're fucking kidding me? That's not how a president works. Fuck nuts, I need a drink. So I didn't watch them. I picked up on enough of it to know that I'm glad I didn't watch them and will continue to try to know as little as possible about any fucking shit garbage award show until I'm fucking 6 feet in the goddamn ground. You know what I'm saying? Unless they only bury me 4 feet. But even then, I don't want to watch it. I'm sitting in now we're just getting a bunch of random stuff. I'm sitting in... oh, yeah, we're getting late. It's hour 10. Yeah, I did plenty. I'm sitting in El Polo Loco the other day. Eating in the restaurant, which I almost never do. I did because I was doing my laundry next door. And nice, quiet, people chatting, things. This is right-wing Luke moment, so if you're a fucking liberal or whatever, just maybe tune out and come back next episode. I'm not a hardliner, but there's things I like to complain about because I'm a cranky old white guy. All of a sudden, music comes blasting over the speakers, like a needle drop in a, well, I'll do a callback Scorsese movie. It scared the shit. We're like, whoa, Jesus Christ, the whole restaurant jumped. Like, they had restaurant music that would, I don't know, the app crashed or the fucking music stopped for some reason and just turned on in the middle of a song at full volume and scared the shit out of everybody. And we all looked at each other like, what the fuck? Like, it was fine without the music. Why do they even need music? The music plays, and it's just rancheros. One song after another, just like, with the trumpets and shit. I'm just like, I'm sorry. We're still in America, right? I know there's a lot of Mexicans here. But we're not in a Mexican restaurant. This is an El Polo Loco chain. Can we have some? Just put some music on. Do we have fucking rancheros in Spanish? We're in America, motherfucker. We're not. Put the whole note to some Journey or something. Fucking Phil Collins. Like, we gotta sit and listen to this shit. Rancheros is the worst fucking music ever. Here's Luke's worst musics ever made. Reggaeton, which every song goes. That shit. followed by rancheros, which is Mexican country music. Coming in at number three, hot, regular American country music. I'm sorry, I fucking hate it. Those are my three worst genres. If they're on, I want to puke in my fucking hat and run. And it was just that fucking rancheros. I can't stand that shit. It's everywhere out here. I'm like, play fucking music with English lyrics. I'm sorry, it's probably offensive to say in 2017, but we're in Los Angeles in America. Can we hear American fucking music? Not this. I was fine with no music. Why did they put anything on? If you're going to put something on, why would you put fucking ranch? I'd rather hear fucking puppies being drowned than that shit. That music hasn't fucking changed since a goddamn Civil War. An upright bass, an accordion, and a fucking trumpet. And some fucking guy yodeling. Shut up. Get this shit out of my fucking restaurant, cunts.
Look, the name of the fucking restaurant is El Pollo Loco. It's in Spanish already.
I don't give a shit. We're in America, right? The fuck? I'm sounding like Freddie Forrest and fucking falling down right now. I went to a party. Now, I got to get my shit. So there's that. I got to get my shit together this year with the stand-up. I'm going into my fourth year, technically. I'm doing stand-up, right? First 2 years, I quit a bunch. I fucked around. I didn't know if I liked it. I found my footing. I beat myself into doing it. I should be a lot further ahead for going into my fourth year now. But it is what it is. And, look forward, don't look backwards. And I really got to start getting on more show. I can't just be grinding away these open mics just to do for the sake of doing open mics. And I got to start. I got real comfortable, and I keep going to the same mics where I know. You know what I mean? I slipped into a comfort zone, and I got to drip myself out. I got to start doing tougher, weirder mics that I don't know, ones that I never did good at. Like the fucking Hooters on Hollywood Bowl. I need to really get my head back in the game. Because I've kind of been on autopilot. So that's one of my things I want to change. And one of the things I have to do to change that is I really got to start being more social at mics and shows and make more fucking friends. Because that's how you get booked. You know what I mean? So case in point, I have this dude, Richie. I met him doing an open mic once. He seemed like a nice guy. He was a good host. And I needed a driver. Sometimes at my job, we just need a driver randomly. I couldn't find anybody of my regulars. No one was available. So I put an ad on Facebook, like Los Angeles comedy scene, because I'm always hearing about comics that are broke and all this, and they barely make it and shit like that. And I want to help my fucking people. So I said, any comics? I need a driver. Pays pretty good. Want to come out and drive? DM me and I'll get you on. You know what I mean? But they didn't seem too sketchy. So I get a message from Richie. And I was like, oh, dude, I remember you. You used to host that fucking mic over there in Glendale, blah, blah, blah. I go back and forth. So last couple weeks, he's been coming in and driving, doing a fucking good job. It's been great. And he'd run book shows and everything else. But, I mean, I didn't really know. I knew he hosted a mic. I didn't really know he was, like, a booker. I wasn't trying to, like, get any. I was legit just trying to help people out. So he's been driving. And he's like, yo, Monday night's my birthday. You should come hang out. It's over in I forgot it was this bar, the Shortstop. I love that place. They used to have a mic in there. It's over in, I think it's in Silver Lake. But it's just a great LA bar. It's everything I fucking love about drinking in LA. It's dark, it's cozy, it's atmospheric. This one actually has a big dance floor with a DJ booth. It's a fucking nice spot. It's on Sunset Boulevard up going towards Glendale, that part. Where that other El Capadre is. Not the one that's right in Hollywood by Nerd Melt. The other El Capadre further up. The place is great. I haven't been there in probably, I don't know, a year or two, but I used to do the mic. The mic was rough. I did bad. But so he's there, and then there's a shitload of and he's real, like, social. He's real good at, like, he's got, like, a Scott Murphy thing to him. He's real good at, like, hey, meet, hey, this is Luke, and blah, blah, blah. He's introducing me. I'm meeting all these people. I met, like, 5-6 people. A couple guys, Amir was there, and another dude that was in for a whole shitload of comics hanging out. And then on top of it, there's a pretty big Monday crowd. A lot of people in the place. Fucking, the joint was jumping if it was 1931 and I wanted to sound hip. That's what I would say. I'm like, look at this. But it's Monday night. It's 10 o'clock. Is there a car here in my blind spot? I need to get the fuck over. I can't tell. Is there a car there or not? I don't think so. I'm fucking tired. Two, I worked. I just did a mic. I did Schoonerville. I love that mic. I did pretty good. Well, again, comfort zone's hard to tell. It was all my friends, but at least I made all my friends laugh. That's great. But I get there and I start meeting these people, and they're like, I just wanted to leave, and I'm like, this is like the third time I've gone out and I had an opportunity to meet new people and kind of network and do stuff, and I just didn't care. I just wanted to go home and go to bed. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? What happened to, like, new to L.A.? Like, I watch Swingers and can't wait to go to L.A. and go out every night, me. And it's just, like, fucking gone. I'm like, God damn it. Like, I'm not going to fucking... So, once again, I went... Bunch of, and they all seem real nice and cool and fun people. I just went home. I was there for a half hour. I met this one dude, this, speaking of Swingers, this black dude, and he reminded me so much. I mean, not like looks-wise, but just attitude and everything about him of this place is dead anyway from Swingers. He was just like that dude. Everything about him just screamed. He's like, man, I don't really want to be here. I was like, yeah, me neither. I was like, I came. He's like, I didn't want to have a... not come see Rich on his birthday. I was like, me too. And I had two of his checks that I had to give him from work. I just wanted to give him both of his checks for being a driver. And it just like we were both just like working on our exit strategy to get out there without him seeing us. Like, yeah, man, I think if you duck that way and go around, like, we were working it all out. I was just like, oh, he's in. I was like, why don't I stay and hang out? And there's cute chicks here. And I said, I just didn't do it. So long story short, my New Year's resolution of be more social, I didn't follow through with it. I really got to get my. Acid gear with that kind of shit this year, because I want to start really getting into it good, you know what I mean? I want to fucking, I don't know, I want to get somewhere. I felt like 2017 just felt like a placeholder year, where I just kind of, I got to a certain level in 2016, and then 2017, it just kind of was just like a breather. I didn't really get much done or do as much as I would have liked, and kind of rested on my fucking laurels there a little bit. And I want to not do that. It's just, I'm getting old, dude. I'm towards 40. It's harder to stay up, less energy, harder to work. It's harder to do everything. I'm going to look back in 10 years and go, hey, idiot, when you were 38, it was way better than it is even now. You should have took advantage of it. So I'm trying not to fall into that headspace. I'm just like, I'm old. I'd say I'm old for the next 20 years when I'm really not. I'm still 30s. I'm still relatively young. I'm in all right shape. And I look young. No one knows I'm as old as I am unless I tell them. So I don't know. I'm wallowing in self-fucking absorbed bullshit right now. I'm sorry you have to listen. It's filling your fucking ears. It's almost done. What else? I think I got one last thing. Actually, I could do 20 more minutes of show. I've had two bullet points that have been latched onto my show like a bed bug that I just have not gotten to in like three episodes in a row. I keep trying to get to them and I just haven't. Got around to it. Here they are again. And I just, we're at almost an hour and a half. And do I really want to, blah, blah. Okay, I guess that's it. So, you know, I signed up for motorcycle lessons. That's a development. I think by the next show, I think that's next Wednesday. I might have to do the show on Tuesday. I don't know. You may or may not have. I've never ridden a motorcycle, road ridden in my life. And I need one. And I want one. And I may or may not have one coming from my dad. I don't know. To get shipped here from New York, but I need to get one this year because I put too much. I need to offset the miles on my car. I drive my car too much. I got too many miles on it, and that car has to last me. And at the rate I'm going, I'm going to be at 100,000 miles in a fucking year and a half, and I'm going to be fucked. So I need to do something else. So I said, get a motorcycle. It's cheap. It's another way to get around. It's a lot more dangerous and shit, but need to get one. I've never rode one, and I need to get street legal and everything. So I signed up for lessons there, and there's a 3-day course next week. I think you're right on the second day. Oh, yeah, it won't be. Yeah, one is a class. I think the first day is a class. So I don't think I will have rode and or crashed and severely hurt myself on a bike between now and next episode. But it's in the cards. That might be fun, right? I might do one. Maybe I'll do a remote from the hospital while I'm recovering. But that ought to be interesting. So it's going to be a year. It's going to be a year for all of us. There's something in the air, I tell you. 2018, there's some shit brewing. Right? Get out there and get stuff done. Grab life by the fucking balls, accomplish our hopes and dreams and fears, and shoot cum everywhere, and kick a midget.